Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Mem Aleph. Begin four lines down with the top of the Yemen, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That's where we had a machlekes. Rav Huna is saying that if someone does an action in someone else's animal, he slaughters even just a little bit, he really makes it forbidden. However, we had three Amarim who said, "Ain odem oisa davish ein shaloi." You can't make something that's not yours forbidden, and therefore, even if you do a full shechita, you have not made the other person's animal forbidden. And the Gemara continues asking on their interpretation. Tashma, the Gemara asks from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Beis Eichzen Besaken Beshechten. If two people are holding onto a knife and slaughtering, one's holding one end, one holding the other end, Echad Leshum Echad Mikol Eilu, one is having in mind one of these other invalidations for the sake of mountains or some type of Avodah Zarah. It's related to Avodah Zarah. Now, it sounds like from the Halacha of the Mishnah, even if it's not his own animal, rather, it's the other one who, the Echad, the other one, is Leshum Davar Kasher, is slaughtering it for a proper slaughtering. Still, the Mishnah says, Shechita Aseh B'Sula. You see, the slaughtering is invalid because one of the two slaughterers, even the one that is not his, because it doesn't differentiate, is saying it's going to be invalid. You see, a person could be Eisa Dav Hashem Nishalai with his Machshava when he's slaughtering. Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skina, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? Is the Isle Shutfis Begava, where they have a partnership, and therefore he's a partner, and therefore he can make it Aser. But if it was just the other person's thing and he's assisting in the slaughter, he actually would not be able to make it forbidden. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from a different source, a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, which is also difficult. The Mishnah says, Hamitame, if someone makes someone else's tyrus, someone's pure food items, and he makes it richly impure. Ova Hamadameya, someone mixes truma into his friend's chulin, unconsecrated produce, where he now lowers the value of that person's produce, because now, since this truma mixed in, he could only sell it to a smaller market, that of Kahanim, which goes at a lower rate, because you have a lower demand for that produce. If someone takes and pours his friend's wine for idolatrous purposes, so he's causing a loss in all these different types of things. So says the Mishnah, if he did it by mistake, meaning he didn't know that it was truma, he didn't know that it's going to become forbidden for this pouring of the wine, or he thought it's his own wine, so then pater, he's exempt from paying. Now, although the halacha is, it's brought in Baba Kamna of Chavav Amaralf, that a person who damages even by mistake is liable, as the famous dictum is Adamud La'ilam, a person is always considered responsible, whether he's sleeping and awake, whether by mistake or deliberately. However, here, these cases are what's called Hezek Shein and Nikr. They're not a recognizable damage, where it looks the same as it was up until now, but he did a halachic damage to it, that actually is what's called Loish Me Hezek. It's not called damages to make him liable. So therefore, if he does it by mistake, he's going to be exempt. But says the Mishnah, but Mezit Chayef, if he does it deliberately, then he's going to have to pay. That's a rabbinic penalty. Now, although essentially, even rabbinically, he should be exempt because of what's called kamli b'dirabmine, he gets the more severe punishment and doesn't get the less severe punishment, that will not exempt him in this situation, even though there's a liability for him, let's say, doing the case of an asach, of pouring wine for avodah zarah, who is chayiv misa, and actually, even when he doesn't get a warning, and he's not going to get killed, the Gemara says in Ksubas Dav Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that what's called chayiv misa shaygin, someone that, if he did it deliberately, would be liable for death penalty. Even when he does it by mistake, is patur milasham, he's exempt from paying because of this concept of being liable only for the more severe thing. So here it's different. He's going to be liable because even when they warn him and he's going to get the death penalty, he'll still be liable for the payment. Why? As the Gemara says in Gittin Dafin Beis Mabeis, because they're happening at different times. When he picks it up with the intention of making it forbidden, to go ahead and pour it for Avodah Zarah, at that moment when he picks it up, he's already liable because he already stole it, he's already liable to pay. The liability for the death penalty is not only until he actually does the Avodah Zarah, the pouring, since it's not happening at the same time, so therefore he's going to be liable. But one thing the Gemara's question is, these are not his own things, and yet he's making them forbidden, and that's why he's chayiv l'sham, if he does deliberately. I ain't od moisa da v'shein nishalai. Says the Gemara, hachanami, de isle shutfes begava. Here the case in that Mishnah is also toma, where he has a partnership in the wine and in that chulin produce. So therefore he can make it forbidden, but it's still the other partners that he's causing a loss to, so he's going to be chayiv. But he could do it only because he has a partnership. So the Gemara says, kitanoi, that actually this machlekes between Rav Huna and these three Amirom is actually machlekes tanoim in the following brisa. The brisa says, Eivei kachav m'shenisich yenish al Yisrael, a non-Jew who pours the wine of a Jew, where he mixes his hands and he shakes it for the purposes of idolatry, and he does it shaloi b'fnei avodah kachav, not even in front of an idol, which is adding on a novelty, a chiddush to this halacha, says the Tanna Kamma, Asra, he has made it forbidden even to have benefit from it, because the Tanna Kamma obviously holds, like these three Amiram, that, like Rav Huna, that Adam Oysid Davashay Nishloi, you could make someone else's things, even though it's not your own, forbidden. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, they're matirin oisib im neshnei devarim. They say in the Brisa that it's permitted for two reasons, which sounds like the three Amarim. Because Echad, first of all, they say, she'im manaschen yayin el b'fnei avodas kacham. First of all, the libations for idolatry is only done in front of the idol. And here it's being done not in front of the idol. So that's, b'chlal, in general, it's not considered nisach yayin. But ve'echad, another reason is, she'yach alay malay, because he could tell the non-Jew, even if he would be pouring it for idolatry in front of the avodas zarah, lo kolem menach she'te'esa yeni, you have no right to make my wine forbidden, because they hold, like the three Amarim, that a person cannot make someone else's thing forbidden, lo ainzi, against my will, that it should be forbidden, and therefore you see it's a machlekes tanaim. However, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak Amri, those three Amarim that were saying this opinion that we mentioned in the previous daf that we were asking on before, they would tell you as follows. They would say, no, Rav Huna most definitely has to say that his opinion is contingent on the machlekes tanaim, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava obviously disagrees and says it's permitted that ain't adam isadav shenus lai. But what they want to say is, but our opinion, we don't have to say it's contingent on the machlekes tanaim, because we could say our opinion even in the Tanna Kamma. Why? Even the opinion of the Tanna Kamma who says that a person could make someone else's thing forbidden. So say these three Amarim, we could tell you Hanan Milikuti, that's only by a non-Jew like the Brice is talking about. Ava Yisrael, but a Jew who we were discussing and disagreeing with Rav Huna in the previous daf, Litziur Kamachavin, when he goes and does and worships it for Avodah Zarah, he's only doing it to bother his friend, and his real intention is not for idolatry, and therefore it's not going to become forbidden, and therefore we can still maintain our halacha, even according to the Tanna Kamma. When a Jew is doing, slaughtering someone else's animal for Avodah Zarah, it's not going to become forbidden, because he's not doing it. For to make it into Avodah Zarah. He's only doing it to bother his friend, and therefore it's not going to become Aser, even according to the Kamma, because he holds only Adam Isadam Hashanah Shalai, only a non-Jew who's doing it really for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asked on that interpretation, Tashema, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Beis Eichsen Besakin Meshechten, if two people are holding onto the knife and slaughtering, Echel Shum Echel Mikal Elu, Bechel Shum Davakasha, one's doing it for the intention of worshipping the sea or one of those other things, and one's doing it for a valid Shechita. Shechitas Bsula, it's going to be an invalid Shechita. What do you see? You see a Jew is doing it and still is making it forbidden, so it's not like what they just said. So it's Gemara, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Bisrua Mummer. We're talking about a renegade Jew. A renegade Jew, we treat like a guy, and yeah, he's doing it for idolatry. He's not doing it just to pain. They would agree. We were talking about a regular Jew. Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara could have just as easily said, like we answered before, that the reason why it's us is because they're partners. It's just that because at this point the Gemara wants to say that they want to say that the only time it's forbidden when the non-Jew is doing it, and there they agree. So they want to explain it according to the Tanna Kamma that yeah, even if it is not a partnership, you can make it forbidden if he's considered a non-Jew, which is what a Yisrael Mumer is considered in that regard. The Gemara continues asking, Tashma again from that Mishnah Masechta Zgitin now. Hametameh, v'amedameh, v'amanaseh. If someone makes someone else's tyrus tumo, or he mixes in truman to chulin, or he pours his wine for avodah zarah. So I said b'shegi patrik. If he does it by mistake, he's exempt because hezik shein neker loish me hezik. But b'meis it chayev. But if he does it deliberately, he's liable. What do you mean liable? What do you do to that other person? He made his things forbidden. How could you make someone else's things forbidden that's not yours? And moreover, we're talking about Yisrael over here. Akuti, they agree, but Yisrael not. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'Yisrael Mumer. You're right, here we're talking about a renegade Jew. A renegade Jew is not like a regular Jew. He's considered like a non-Jew in this regard. And therefore, yeah, he'll make it forbidden because he's really doing it by the Zara. What we were talking about was someone that's a regular Jew. He's doing it just to bother his friend. And therefore, it's not really by the Zara and it's not become forbidden benefit. Now, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Rav Ashi. He says, let's say history boy. Let's say they warned this Jew before he was doing this. You said by a regular Jew, when he does it, he's not really doing for a desire. And therefore, everyone would agree he's not going to make it forbidden. But let's say this Jew, before he's about to do it, they say, hey, they warn him, don't do this. You're not allowed to worship and slaughter an animal for a desire. V'kibul olav hasra. And he accepts the warning. And after he accepted the warning, he went and he slaughtered it. Now, but before this point in time, we never had this Jew in the assumption of being a renegade Jew. He was a regular Jew. We never assumed that he was a mummer. My, what would the halacha be? Would we say that now the animal would be forbidden or not? Because when someone accepts a warning, they warn him and they tell him you should know. You're forewarned regarding what you're about to do, that the Torah says what you're going to do, you're liable for death penalty. And he says, yes, I know, and with that intention I'm doing it, that I'll die. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Mois Yumas, that you have to warn him until he's going to know that he's going to die for this. So what's halach over here? He was really a regular Jew up until now. We never thought he was a Yisrael Mumer, but they're warning him that he's going to get the death penalty. Would that change it? Amalei, so he said to him, Hitra atzma lamisa karma? You ask me a situation where the person allows himself to be killed beforehand, that he accepts, that he knows what he's doing, is liable for death penalty according to Jewish law, and he still does it anyway? There's no greater renegade Jew than this, and of course he's considered like Yisrael Mum, and he's doing it deliberately for avodah zarah, and therefore then yes, it would make it forbidden according to the Tanna Kamma, like we're saying, because even he says it only by akuti, because akuti is like by Yisrael Mumr, would be the same halacha. Again, even though we're saying the Yisrael Mumr in the Tanna Kamma that he would agree in Adam Isa Dava Shein Shalai, that would be only by a regular Yisrael, but by Yisrael Mumr, then that's like the halacha of akuti, that then a person could make someone else's thing forbidden. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding avodah zarah, and additionally regarding slaughtering for seeds and other things which have a flavor of avodah zarah, that it's a problem regarding slaughtering. Says the Mishnah, ain't sheichtin, don't do a slaughtering, even the regular slaughtering has no idolatrous intent, loy l'teich yam, but you're not a slaughter into the sea, so that people shouldn't say that he's slaughtering it for the god of the sea. But loy l'teich naharis, you're not a slaughter into rivers, but loy l'teich kelim, not into vessels, because people are going to say, hey, why is he receiving the blood? Well, you don't need blood, you don't have no utility, oh, we must be doing it for idolatrous reasons, so you're not a slaughter into vessels either. But you could slaughter into a pit of water, where then it's not in the vessel to go ahead and use it for something. Ubisfina, now on a ship, you could slaughter al gabe kalim, then you could slaughter on vessels, where because then it's going to go into the vessels and then drip down from the vessels into the sea. And the reason why you'd be doing this is because you don't want to make your ship dirty. And it doesn't look like you're slaughtering it because you want to slaughter for the seas, because it's going first into the vessel, but not because you want to use it. It's just that you don't want to make your ship dirty. And therefore, then you could slaughter on top of vessels. Now, says the Mishnah, Ein sheichtin leguma kol ikr. One is never allowed to slaughter into a pit. Aval eisa guma b'teich beisai, but you're allowed to make a pit in your house, b'shvil sheyekonis adam l'teicha, so that the blood could gather inside of it, which that sounds like you actually slaughter into the pit. So the Gemara is going to ask. You first said you're not allowed to slaughter in a pit, and then you say you could slaughter in a pit. Now, the reason why you're not allowed to slaughter into a pit, again, is not like we said because of when there's water, but a regular pit, is because that's the custom of the Sadducees, of the Apikursim, that they do for idolatry, so therefore one's not allowed to do that. But, however, as we'll explain, there's a situation in the home that a person could make a pit in certain type of situations. But even in those types of situations, one cannot do that in the street, in the public. Shalai, as we continue to Medbay, is yichakes at tzedukim, that he should not support the ways, the customs of the idolaters, where yichak is a term of chayk, which is their chayk, that's their status that they have. One should not be doing these irrational things that they do, which are for avodah zarah purposes. Now the Mishnah said, Ein sheichtin loy l'teich b'chulu. Said, you're not allowed to slaughter into the sea and other things. So the Gemara says, Maishna l'teich yam d'loy. Why is it that we said you're not allowed to slaughter into the sea, meaning over the sea you slaughter and the blood goes in there? Da'amr l'sar d'yam, because they're going to say, oh, he's slaughtering to the god, so to speak, of the sea. But then, l'teich ugeshal ma'im nami. So then, why do we say into a pit of water you're allowed to? That should also be a problem, because Amri levavua koshacha. People are going to say, oh, he's slaughtering to his reflection that he could see in the water. That should also be a problem. Amrav, he says, no, bachur mishanu, that halacha that you could slaughter into a pit of water, it's from a murky water where you can't see a reflection. And there's no concern for what people might say. There's nothing that they'll say, and that's why that's permitted. Now, additionally, the Mishnah continues, says, Ein sheichtin leguma v'chuli, not allowed to slaughter into a pit at all situations. But then the Mishnah continues, says, but you could make a pit in your house. So that the Gemara asks, you said you're not allowed to slaughter into a pit at all. And then you say, oh, but you can make a pit in the house. How do we understand this? So Abaye, he says, Reisha b'guma shebashuk. No, you're allowed to make a pit in your house. The first statement that says you're never allowed to make a pit at all and slaughter in there, it was talking about a pit in the street. On that, Amalei Rava asked, but v'amadiktani seifa, but in fact, that the Mishnah later on says, u'bashuk lo yasekein, in the street you're not allowed to do, mechal d'reisha la b'shuk askin. Obviously, earlier when it said that, it's obviously not talking about the street, because it says later on. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Ein shechtin l'guma kol ikki, not allowed to slaughter into a pit ever, even in a house, because again, that looks like the custom of the Sadducees of the Apikorsim, of the Minim. But, says the Mishnah, but if someone wants to clean his courtyard, how does he do it? He doesn't want to make it full of blood. That's what it's saying. He makes a place, meaning he makes a small ditch. Out of the pit. v'sheichet and slaughters, b'dam sheisis v'yori legum, and then the blood drips down and goes down into the pit. So you're not doing straight into the pit. So you don't have that custom of the Sadducees. But it's still going to go drip into the pit. That's what we said you could do in your house. And then that's still what the Mishnah says, b'shuk l'yasekin, but in the street, even that you shouldn't do, because in one's home, it gives the appearance that you just don't want to make your courtyard dirty. That's why you're doing it, that's going into a pit. But in the street, no one's going to think that you're doing it because you don't want the street to get dirty. So if you're doing it, that it's going to be going into a pit, we don't want to actually chakes at tzedukim, that you shouldn't be strengthening the tzedukim, because people are going to say, hey, why are you putting it into the pit? You don't want to just not the street to get dirty. It must be you want to do the custom of the Sadducees, and therefore not to support them, even in the street, even when you make a ditch going into the pit, even that's not a viable option, even that's forbidden. Says the Gemara, and Tanya Kavah say the Rav, we have a Brice that says the Rav. Brice says, someone was going on a ship. He has nowhere to slaughter on the boat, doesn't want to make it all dirty full of blood. So the Brice says a different option than our Mishnah. So he can stick his hand out of the ship and slaughter. Then the blood's going to drip down on the walls of the boat. And then from the walls of the boat, it's going to go into the sea. So you don't have the problem of like you're slaughtering into the sea. Our Mishnah said, do into vessels, and then they'll drip down, which also you don't have the problem because everyone realizes you're doing it just that you shouldn't get dirty. Here it's saying, stretch your hand out, and it'll go on the walls down into the sea. So you're not doing directly into the sea. Now, moreover, says the Braisa, Ve'ein sheikh l'guma kolikar. You never let a slaughter into a pit ever, because that's like the custom of the tzaddukim. V'haretzel naka chatzer, and this is how Rav had qualified it. But whoever wants to keep his courtyard clean, ketzer oisa, how should he do it? Eisa makam chutz l'guma v'sheikh. So you make this charitz, narrow ditch out of the pit and slaughter it there. B'dam sheisa v'yar l'guma, and then the blood drips down and goes into the pit. But, and that's what the Braisa says, like Rav explained that Mishnah, even that, u'b'shuk lo yasekein, in the marketplace, even that you're not allowed to do. B'shem shenema, because the Pasuk says, v'yikra b'chukiseim lo yisilechu, do not go in their statutes. And that's one of the chukim and tzedukim, and we don't want to reinforce that. And then again, if someone actually does this, tzarech b'dika achareb, you have to go ahead and investigate after him. Maybe he is a min, maybe he's someone who practices idolatry, and then you have to separate from his bread and from his wine. You have to treat him like all those halachas of someone that is a renegade and that practices idolatry. Now the Gemara continues with the next and final Mishnah of our parak. Again, Katir on this theme of hasheichet, regarding problems that arise during slaughtering. Says the Mishnah, hasheichet, if someone slaughters a regular animal, chulin animal, outside of the Azara, but he's doing it l'shem oila. He says, I'm slaughtering this animal to be a carbon oila. Now, that's a problem. Why? Because since a carbon oila, a totally burnt sacrifice, is something that could be donated through a neder or a nedava, someone that sees him doing this thinks, hey, he might be sanctifying this animal now, and he might really be slaughtering as a carbon oila, and he's eating it. Must mean that kachim, a real carbon, out of the Azara is permitted. So therefore the Rabbanan decreed and said that it's going to be invalid. So too regarding shlamim, if he does l'shem zvachim to be a carbon shlamim, or l'shem ashim tali, or if let's say he says, I want this to be the suspended carbon ashim, which that's in a situation when someone is in a doubtful situation if he's liable for chiv karis. For example, let's say he had two pieces of meat or fats in front of him, and he ate one of them. And then witnesses came and says, hey, by the way, one of those pieces of fats were forbidden chelo fats, but we don't know which one he ate. Or let's say he had his wife and his sister with him in the house. Now, he thought he had relations with his wife. Turns out that they were mixed up, and it's not clear tomorrow which one he had relations with, because both of them were in the bed. But he didn't know which one. So the halacha is to bring a suspended carbon ashram to protect him from yisurim, from afflictions, until he finds out if he definitely had sinned, then he brings a karma chatas. Now, actually, the Gemara is going to ask on this case, but Ashram Tali is not something that you could bring in Nedu Nedava. And whoever sees what he's doing, I'm doing Ashram Tali, knows there's no substance what he's saying, because an Ashram Tali is only if you did something that made you liable, and people would have heard that he had done something that was a sin, and no one heard anything. So why would this be a case of being problematic, as if people think he's really doing kachem achutz? But that the Gemara is going to address that. And also l'shem Pesach, if he says he's slaughtering this animal to be a carbon Pesach, the Gemara will address that too. That's also not something that you could make a ned in a dava. That's a chiv on the 14th of Nisan. Or l'shem Taido, if he says he's slaughtering this animal to be a Thanksgiving offering, which that you could donate. All these cases, shchita sipsula, the slaughtering rabbinically is invalid. Now, Reb Shimon Machshei says it is valid because he's not concerned with what's called marasayin, the appearance that people might think, hey, he's really doing, everyone knows he's not doing anything, and therefore there's no problem with the slaughtering. Now, says the Mishnah, Shnayim oichsim besakin v'sheichet, and if two, as we had said this in the previous Mishnahs, that if there's two people holding the knife and they slaughter, Echad l'shem echad mekalelu. One's having in mind, according to Tanna Kamma, one of all these problem types of thoughts. Ve'echad l'shem davar kasher, and one's having in mind for a regular slaughtering. Shechitas b'sula. It's going to be a problem because one of them ultimately is having this invalidating thought and statement when he's slaughtering the animal. Now, in contrast, however, says the Mishnah, Hashechel Hashem Chatas. Someone's slaughtering the animal, regular chulin animal, again outside, and he's saying, I'm doing it for a sin offering. Or the Hashem Hashem Vaday, or for a definite Karban Hashem, which that would be talking about what's called Hashem Gezelis, for example. If, let's say, he swears falsely that he doesn't owe someone money, so he's really stealing. Or Hashem Me'ilis, when he misappropriated from Hektish. Or Hashem Shiv Charufa, when he had relations with a half indentured female servant. Now, the reason why we call it Ashram Vade is because since the Ashram Tali is when you're in doubt, so we call this one the definite Ashram, when you know you have this Ashram. Or let's say L'Shem Bechayr, that I'm slaughtering this because as a firstborn animal. Or L'Shem Meiser, or this is the one that's the 10th animal from the herd, which is Chayiv for Meiser Behema. Here we know that he's lying because all these situations, that Chatas, Ashram, there's only if he sinned, and so to Bechayr Meiser, we know beforehand if it's a firstborn animal or the 10th one, and he can't just separate it at this time to make it the Bechayr Meiser, because it's not the firstborn animal. Or L'shem Tamur, which Agmo will address that, he says, oh, let this be a swapping of a carbon, it doesn't have another carbon. So we obviously know that he's lying over here, and that we don't think he's doing Kach Mechutz, and therefore Shechitasik Sheh, then we don't have to make a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore there the slaughtering is going to be valid. As the Mishnah concludes and says, Zahaklal, this is the rule. And the Gemara is going to explain what are we saying Zahaklal, which usually comes to include something. We already said all the cases that we're describing, but says the Mishnah, this is the rule. Kal davish and nidav and nidav, anything that could be vowed to bring or donated to bring, which you could just make up right now to bring it as a carbon, sasheich l'shmai aser. So if someone's slaughtering this chulin animal for its namesake, it's forbidden, because then that looks like kach b'chutz. V'she'ein and nidav and nidav, but if it's not something that you could donate or to vow to bring, like a chatas or ashem, hasheich l'shmai kasha, if you slaughtered for that namesake, it's nothing, and there it's going to be valid. Now, says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, hasheich l'shem oila. If you slaughter it to be an oila, etc., in all those different cases, we said that then it's going to be invalid. Now, I asked the Gemara, as we had alluded to, Ashem Tali bar nidav v'nidavu? Is a Ashem Tali something that can be donated or vowed, which the Mishnah had said that's the rule that we go by? But it's something that if you did a sin, you can't just bring a ned in a dove, and no one heard that he had sinned, even by mistake. So why would this be that people would think, oh, he's really doing an Ashem Tali, to make it rabbinically invalidated? So Amar Bichon, he says, you know what? Hamani huzitan of a Mishnah. It's Rebbe Lazar. The Amar misnadav adam asham tali b'chol yom. He says a person could donate an asham tali every single day. Why? Because he understands every single day a person stands in a situation that maybe he sinned, and it makes sense that a person would be concerned that maybe he sinned, and we find the pasuk validating to bring an asham tali and sacrifice it and eat it when you're not sure if maybe that you had sinned. When witnesses came along and says, hey, maybe he sinned. So here also, every single person, really, we testify, like what's called Anan Sa'adi, that every single day, maybe he sinned. Who knows how much things we do every day that we're not aware of. And therefore it says, every day you could donate to Ashram Tali. So in some regard, it is considered like something that you could be nidav and nidav, and say, right now bring Ashram Tali, even though no one ever heard what you did that was sinful. Who knows, Lashon Har, who knows how many things that person has done that day. And therefore it is nidav and nidav, and therefore it does have the problem of the Mishnah. But the Gemara continues asking, Pesach bar nidav v'nidarhu? What do you mean? Why are you liable if you're saying you're doing L'shem Pesach? Zman Kavile. It has a set time on Erev Pesach. So everyone knows that what he's saying is in the middle of Kislev, you're just saying you're doing a Karm Pesach? Of course you're not. And therefore, why would that be problematic of Marasayim? So Amr Bishi says, no, because Shani Pesach, no, Pesach is different. The designation of a Karm Pesach is really the whole time, the whole year. The whole year is really an appropriate time to start preparing, as many people do, already halfway through the year to prepare for Pesach, and to leave it for that time. So therefore, even now people would say, yeah, maybe he really right now is separating this animal as the Karm Pesach, and although he's not slaughtering it on 14th of Nisan, he's slaughtering sometime in the middle of Adar, still, that's like a Pesach B'Shayim Ma'isashan, which the halacha is, that it's considered as a Karban Shlam. And people are going to say, it's really his Karban Pesach, which, but if you slaughter any other time of the year, it's like a Shlam. And he's slaughtering a Shlam on the Yatzin, and he's eating it. So they're going to think it's Marasayin of Kach HaMachutz, and therefore, it is rabbinically problematic, and therefore not a valid Shechita. Now, however, Amar B'Yana, he qualifies the halachas of our Mishnah, he says, L'shona Ela Tamimim. The problems of our Mishnah were only if this animal that he's claiming he's bringing as Oilo or Asham Tali, all these things, only if they're unblemished animals, which that's what a carbon has to be. Aval Bali Mumin made the idea, but if it's a blemished animal, everybody knows that he's lying, and therefore there's no destructive consequence that's going to come out, because what are you talking about? You're not bringing a carbon, it's a blemished animal, you just... You're just making a joke. You're just doing silly things. And therefore, that's not a problem. But Rabbi Yochanan, he disagrees. He says, no, Philip Bali Mumanami, even if it's a blemished animal, we're still going to say rabbinically it's problematic. Why? Because Zimnin derami le media muma, at times it could be that something could be covering up the blemish. It could be covered by the wool of the animal with some mud on it. Veloya dia, and it's not going to be recognizable. People are not going to see that blemish, and they're going to think it is unblemished, and therefore it's going to run back into the problem of Marasayin. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, in all situations we say, even if it's blemished, it is going to be rabbinically prohibited. It's going to be problematic as a slaughtering. Now, the Mishnah had said, Hashekh l'shem chatas. But if he slaughters it, that he's saying it's a chatas, then it's kasher, because what are you talking about? You didn't sin, we know you didn't sin, and obviously you're just making it up, you're not really doing a carbon machutz. Now, however, Amr B'yichni qualifies this halach, and he says, l'shana el l'sh'ein m'choiv chatas. Obviously, he's only talking about if this person is not liable for a carbon machatas. And people are not going to say, oh, right now, maybe he's separating a carbon machatas right now, because a chatas cannot be just brought as a neder and a dava. And the Rabbanan are not concerned that maybe someone who's going to see him is going to think, oh, maybe he's someone who is Chayav HaChatas, because that word gets around. Because someone that came and he sinned by mistake, he's not going to cover up, because he actually wants to get embarrassed so he gets atonement. And everyone would know that he's Chayav HaChatas. So we only said that it's not going to be problematic when he's saying he's doing it for Chatas, only if he's really not liable for Chatas. But if, let's say, he really is Chayav Chatas, people know he did a certain sin, even by mistake, so he's Chayav Chatas. Now, whoever sees this guy is going to think, when he's saying he's slaughtering this animal for Karma Chatas, because he's like, hey guys, you know, I sinned today, okay, I'm going to slaughter this animal for Karma Chatas. They're going to think that he's actually Eimel Lushum Chatas who was. They can say maybe he's actually doing first Chatas, and actually that would run back into the same problem, Marasayin, and then actually would be forbidden. It would not be a good Shechita. But that is the Gemara. But v'lekama l'shem chatasi. But the way we said it, he's not saying I'm doing it for my sin, which would sound like the one that I'm liable for. He just said he's doing it l'shem chatas, which sounds like a wording of like a neder, which, and everyone knows that you can't make a neder for chatas. Meaning, when we're talking about something like an oila, something that could be brought as a neder and a dava, then you could say right now he's accepting it when he's designating it, right now when he's coming to slaughter. He doesn't have to say I'm bringing it for my oila. But here, as long as it doesn't say, I'm bringing it for my chatas, it doesn't sound like anything, even for what he really is obligated for, because he's not saying that. He's saying, l'shem chatas, which sounds like as if you could just bring in that nedava, and you cannot. So what's the problem? So Rebbe Vo, he says, no, ba'im l'shem chatas. No, we're talking about what he says, I'm bringing it for my chatas. That would be a problem. Now, again, but where he's not chaya for chatas, even where he says, as our Mishnah is talking about, when our Mishnah says l'shem chatas, he's saying l'shem chatas. But if he's not chayiv, so then even if it says l'shem chatas, everyone knows that he's lying, because we didn't hear about any sin. You're just joking. You're just lying. But when he actually did sin and he says l'shem chatas, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was qualifying and says that actually that would be a problem, because then people would think you're doing your kachem b'chutz. The Mishnah said also l'shem temura. If he says l'shem temura, it's nothing. It's not substantive. It's not a problem, because what are you making a temura for? Now, here too, Amr Belazi qualifies, he says, Leshano Elishain Li Zevach Batech Besa. We only said it's not a problem if he doesn't have an actual real live carbon in his house. Where then you can't say that, oh, he's making this self-standing animal into a tamur, because what are you making a tamur with? Tamur is when you have a carbon that you want to swap it to something else, it takes on the same sanctity as that carbon. Where here you can make a decree and say, oh, but someone who's going to see him and he just walks in and he says, hey, he's doing it for a tamur out of the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to think, oh, maybe he has another animal that's a carbon, because people hear about that if someone has a real life carbon in his house. So we only said it's not a problem if he doesn't have an animal sacrifice in his house. But if he really has a real live carbon in his house, then ema amuri amarbi, then I actually would say that maybe he really is making a tamura. Whoever sees him thinks that right now he's making a tamura for the one that he has in his house right now when he's coming to slaughter. Now, even though that animal sacrifice is not right here when he's doing it, it will still have the effect of a tamura. As the Mishnah teaches in Tamura Dav Chavzayin Man Aleph, if someone says, I'm making this animal into an exchange for a chatas or an oila that I have in my house, if he has, it's substantive, and it actually becomes a tamura. So therefore, then actually, we would be concerned that it would be a problem, as he's saying it, that maybe he's really making it into a tamura. Now, here to the Gemara asked, but v'leka'am al-Hashem tamura zivchi. They didn't say, I'm making a tamura for my carbon that I have at home, which would sound like that he's making a tamura for that. He's just saying, I want it to be a tamura, which sounds like that just that designation itself should make it into a tamura. And we know that's not the case. It's only where he's making a tamura with a different pre-existing carbon. As the Mishnah teaches the tamura, if someone says, I want to make this animal in place of a chatas or in place of an oila, he hasn't said anything. So how does it help? even if he has a carbon, but he's not saying for the tamura of my carbon. So here too, Amar Bavoi says, no, our Mishnah, when it says l'shem tamura, is bo'im l'shem tamura zifchi, where he says, I want it to be the swapping for my carbon. And that the Mishnah is telling us that, but when he doesn't have an actual carbon, then it's going to be kosher, and we're not concerned that whoever sees him is going to think that he does, that he's doing something, because if he really had a carbon, then we would have known about it. And even if he's saying tamur zifchi, we know he doesn't really have one, and therefore there's no maris ayin about kosher machutz, and that's why it's kosher. Now the Mishnah had concluded and said, zeh haklal, this is the rule, which first it said that whatever is nidr v'nidav, then if you slaughter for that namesake, that's going to be us, because giving the appearance as if you're doing kosher machutz. So says the Gemara, as we had alluded, lasu yimei, what's that coming to include? We already said all those categories that are nidr v'nidav. Says the Gemara, lasu yei oilas nazir. This extra wording is coming to include the oila that a nazir brings. Meaning, if the person says, I'm slaughtering this chulin animal for being an oila that a nazir is supposed to bring when he's done, that chulin animal is now going to be invalid, because the one who sees thinks he really did make a neder of naziris, and now he's separating the karbanos for that naziris and he's slaughtering it. Now, although, why do you have to include it? A nazir is something that his karbanos are brought through a neder, so it's something in the category of nidir and nidiv. However, if we didn't say zeh haklal to include it, we would not have known it from the case of oila, which is what his karbanos are, from that of the resha. Why? Why do you have to come to include it? Because the ma'od tema, what would you say that, no, in that case, you don't have to be concerned for some destructive consequence coming out. Because everyone knows, halay nadar, he didn't take a ned of naziris. No one ever heard that he's a nazir. What are you talking about? If he's a nazir, we know he has to grow his hair, and he's not allowed to drink wine, not allowed to be a mason. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that no, eimin nadar bitzina. That people would still say, you know what, maybe he took a vow of naziris in private, and he's been practicing it the last 30 days, and now he's bringing the carbon, because a regular unspecified naziris is just for 30 days, and that's not necessarily recognizable to the neighbors. That's where I have to tell you that that would also be problematic of what people might say, since it's something that nidav and nidav, maybe he's really bringing it as I love naziris right now, and that's why, that's, if he says it during the Shechita, rabbinically, that's going to be problematic. Now the Mishnah then said, the flip side, b'she'ena nidav and nidav, whatever is not brought through nedav nedava, well then that's not a problem, that's going to be kosher. So what's that including? Says the Gemara, lasuya oilas yuledis. That's coming to include if, let's say he says, I'm slaughtering this animal to be an oila for a woman who gave birth. So then that animal is going to be kosher. Because everyone knows right now, you can't just make a neder. It's not something that's nidav and nidav. It has to be when a woman who gives birth. And as we're going to explain, it's talking about where he doesn't have a wife. Amar Balaz, he says, Leishana elashain leisha. We only said that it's, no one's going to think he's bringing a real yeledis, a carbon of yeledis, because you can't make a ned and a dove of that. And additionally, he doesn't have a wife. So what are you talking about? How you bring a yeledis? You must be lying. Abba yesh leisha, but if he has a wife, eim leshmahu aisa, then actually we would say that he's doing it for her sake, and she had given birth, and actually people might think he's really bringing a carbon machutz, which would be problematic. He didn't say I'm bringing it for the oila of my wife. He just said of a yeledis. Amr Bavo, he says, no, but oila shem oilas ishti. It's tuma where he says for the oila of my wife. So that's the Gemara, well, pshita, that obviously would be a problem. So on that says the Gemara, no. It was necessary for Ibalaza to tell us that when he has a wife, it's going to be pasul, even though Ribalaza said the same thing before regarding Tamura. Why? Because we continue on the top of Membezim and Aleph, Ma'udatem, what would you say? No. And Isa the Yolda, even though we know he has a wife, if she would have given birth, Kala Havale, everyone would know, Mazel Tov. And therefore, we didn't hear. So obviously he's lying, so it would not be a problem. Kamash Malam, that's where Blaz is coming to teach us that no, Aim Rapuli Apple. People are going to say, maybe she miscarried, and maybe she really did have a child, and maybe he really is bringing a carbon, and therefore that would be a problem if he's doing it. When he does have a wife, then it actually is going to be invalidation. Now, that's according to our Gersa. So Rashi brings a different version, which actually doesn't have the statement of Rabbi Laza and Rabbi Vo. And actually, the Gersa is that when it says that whatever is not needed, but needed is not a problem, is coming to include the Eila of when a woman gives birth, and that's what he said he's bringing now. He's slaughtering Eila Siladis, it's going to be kosher. Because, well, would you say that maybe a woman did give birth, Kamash Malan, that if she gave birth, then word would have gotten out. Now, according to that interpretation, says Rashi, it's talking about actually that it's still going to be kosher, even when he is a married man. And the Tana, the Mishnah had to tell us with the Zeh HaKlal is going to be kosher, because you would say, well, he's a married man. We have to be suspect. Maybe whoever's going to see is going to think that maybe really she gave birth, Kamash Malan, that no, had she given birth, we would have heard about it, and since we didn't hear about it, therefore it's actually not a problem. And Rashi prefers this interpretation, first of all, because We never say, as the Gemara is saying over here, Mav de Tema, on any one of the Amoraim's statements. When they say, oh, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn it only in that case. We had Rabbi Yechanan, we had a few different interpretations of Lo Yishanu. We never said Mav de Tema on the Amoraim statements. We only said it on the Mishnah's Zahaklal. That's where we say Mav de Tema. And that's also normative in Talmudic practice to say Mav de Tema on the Klal of the Mishnah. So therefore, but the way we're saying it in our Girsa, Mav de Tema is actually going on the statement of Rabbi Lazar of an Amoraim. Additionally, if it's like our version, that the halacha of the Mishnah that's saying when he's doing it for Eilas Yeledes is not going to be a problem, is when he doesn't have a wife, then says Rashi, then why would the Mishnah have to tell us, Zahakal is including that it's not going to be a problem? Obviously, what's the concern? What do you mean, how's he being Eilas Yeledes? He doesn't have a wife to have Eilas Yeledes. Rather, the Chiddush is, no, to the contrary, even when he has a wife, that still is going to be Pater, because had she really given birth, we would have heard about it. Obviously, that really nothing happened, and therefore, it's not going to be chayiv, even if he says he's slaughtering this animal as Eilas Yeledes. Hanu l'chashechiv, we shall return to the second parak in Masechtas Chulin, parak Hashechiv, which spoke about as the topic, as the title of the parak of Hashechiv, regarding different laws that come up and problems that come up regarding slaughtering of a Chulin animal.